This is Leo with KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. And today, we're taking time, setting it aside to consider how folks are responding to the state of the nation as it hits home locally. There are truly urgent, imminent issues that have compelled me to do a check-in with my guest today that we'll meet in a second. In the face of what Lincoln might call a house divided, I just felt I needed to provide some context for today's interview. Today is day 70 of the Donald Trump administration, and his most loyal supporters may be thinking that we're getting what he promised, messy change, but change that they think is needed. And some voters chose Trump just on the basis of issues like immigration reform and lowering prices. They may be a little surprised that prices are still spiraling up as the game of tariff roulette is played. Meanwhile, millions of Americans recognize that many of the Trump executive actions target specific groups of marginalized people on the basis of their identity. And some of the same people are shocked daily by attacks on funding the core functions of government. They're really like no other presidential actions in their lifetimes. But right here in Lake County, there are neighbors, a grassroots groundswell of people standing up in the face of what they see unraveling in our social fabric and the executive's defiance of the rule of law. Breakwall Indivisible is a Two Harbors Citizens Alliance. It's barely 1 month away from its formation, and they are aligned with Indivisible groups across the country. I want to learn more. I know that this weekend there are events planned around the country to challenge the administration's plans and actions, and today I'm joined by two coordinators from the Breakwall group calling in this snowy evening by phone, Sarah Preston and Anna Madsen. Greetings, Sarah, and hello, Anna.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your call tonight, despite your both being a little under the weather, I understand, and that's not a pun.
No, I'm afraid not.
It's a good one. Yeah, Anna and I have actually timed this pretty well. We're really, really happy to be here talking to you, Leo. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
And just sharing our story.
Yeah, so you're in a wee bit of a pseudo-quarantine for this phone call. Anyway,
yeah.
I would like you both to be able to share a little bit about your backgrounds in life, whatever you see fit, and what really brought you into acting, to get up off the couch and say it's time to organize something that led to the organization of Breakwall Indivisible in Two Harbors. What is it, a month, 6 weeks ago? It's sprung on us?
Well, I can tell you, Leo, it's been probably about a month, or maybe a little bit longer, maybe 6 weeks, that Anna and I've been talking about this. I play a daily puzzle in the New York Times, and I was looking back at the archive to see how many of those puzzles I had missed in the last month or so. And as it turns out, there were quite a few more in March that I did not get to than I was able to do, because Breakwall Indivisible has kept us both really, really busy. And just a bit about me, I grew up, it was a little baby, kind of in the middle of the civil rights movement, and literally was a babe in arms at civil rights marches down in Minneapolis. And so that just really instilled in me social justice longing and leaning that has always been really important. And I have been, sort of politically active, but really not much most of my life. As an adult, really not a ton. And this moment has really brought that out in me. It just seems so clear that this is a time when that heart for the betterment of the world is certainly America is more necessary than it's ever been, certainly in my lifetime, possibly in the history of this nation. So that's me and where I come from.
Yeah, and I am a Lutheran pastor, was raised the daughter of a Lutheran pastor who my father boldly proclaimed the word of justice and mercy that radiates from the Old Testament through the New Testament. And as a young girl, I was out in nuclear freeze marches in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and admired my father's courage because it certainly then as now takes courage to make some of these proclamations that are certainly elements of our faith, but hit harder and perhaps clearer in these days. The indivisible component actually is directly tied to that. I was doing some supply preaching at a Lutheran church in Cloquet, and it was immediately after the inauguration of Donald Trump, and the texts, it's as if they were simply made for the moment. And so I preached very much according to the text. And afterwards, a woman came up to me and just burst into the office and said, "I need to tell you about Indivisible." And there I learned about the movement Indivisible that was burgeoning in Cloquet, and in fact, within this congregation, it was hosting Indivisible. And I learned at their very first meeting, they had 65 people. Meanwhile, Sarah and I had anyway been having conversations. What do we do in the wake of this president's inauguration and agenda? And so I rang her up and I told her about Indivisible. And that evening, the two of us sat, she at her home and I in mine, and we created Indivisible over the phone.
We did, but backing up a little bit, we thought, you know, what can we do? How can we meet this moment that is so critical? And we thought about some ideas about creating things ourselves. And then one of us said, wait a minute, there are organizations that are already doing this mm-hmm. work. So let's look at what our options are and, you know, latch on to some of that knowledge. Instead of reinventing the wheel, let's find someone who's working on this already. So that's really the background, and doesn't go back more than, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. Anna and I have been friends for almost 8 years, I suppose.
I just wanted to reintroduce the audience to the fact that I'm speaking today with, that was Sarah Preston and Anna Madsen, both newbie organizers and now pretty much in a leadership role with, as such as it is, at Breakwall Indivisible in Two Harbors in Greater Lake County. Go ahead, Sarah.
So what I was going to say, Anna and I come to Indivisible from very similar core places, but our spokes going out are different. You know, Anna is a Lutheran pastor, and that is her vocation and a lot of her life surrounding her family, her community. I am not a practicing anything, and so one of the things about Indivisible that is so important is that Indivisible really is an open movement. Movement as defined by a variety of dictionaries is all about change, and they strive to be open to anyone. So you reference the many, many, many millions of people in the United States that are already being impacted by the work of this administration who might have voted for it and thought that they were going to be taken care of, but now are realizing, oh, wait a minute, this is, you know, prices are still high. They're still, as you said, spiraling higher. This isn't quite what I thought I was voting for. We are open to anybody to come and help us activate this resistance, if you want to call it that, to this administration.
Yes. I was wondering, have you had much time to get to know leadership at other Indivisibles? Has that helped guide you? Or are you building this road as you travel it, and with what resources? You have a lot of people who have shown up, correct? I mean, your first meeting at the Two Harbors Community Center, I drove up to see what was up, and I couldn't find a parking space. And I was fairly impressed, to say the least. Were you?
Mm-hmm. We were gobsmacked is what we were. And in fact, actually, this is, I mean, if you have to lay awake and come up with a problem to face every day, I just as soon have the one that not just our Indivisible, Breakwall Indivisible is facing, but Indivisibles across the nation, which is fire codes. We can't find easily places that can hold the number of people who are wanting to congregate and to gather together to find mutual support, but also constructive means to be able to protest what is happening out of D.C. The Indivisible organization began in 2016, I think, and sort of has ebbed and flowed, but certainly in recent years has really kind of found its mojo and has developed a network of capable, hyper-capable leaders who know how to organize from the grassroots they have created a constellation of not just field organizers, but also graphic designers, finance people,
legal advisors. Yeah, they just really have this amazing network of really, really expert people in their fields that are helping this movement go forward. And a part of that has been making connections between local groups. If you think about grassroots and how they move through the soil, that's kind of what's happening, that grass is popping up everywhere from those roots. And so Cloquet has two groups, at
Cloquet
least.
Cloquet has one, but Duluth has
Cloquet
two.
Has one. Duluth actually has three individual groups. And there's a group in Grand Marais, there's a group in Finland, Silver Bay. And they're really seeing these numbers explode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been interesting to see that growth. Yeah.
Because of time and space considerations, are you becoming somewhat digital wizards of communicating through the web and Facebook or Instagram or whatever the kids do these days? You tell me. But seriously, I mean, have you had to learn a lot of pathways to connection in a hurry?
So a number of responses to that. We have been so grateful for Indivisible's relationships with platforms, social networking platforms like Mobilize and Every Action. And under the umbrella of Indivisible, if you have a registered Indivisible group, as do we, you are privy to access to those resources, which would otherwise be cost prohibitive. So one of the other pieces that we need to name straight away and should have is that this group is not just Sarah and me, but rather we have a core group, other leaders who bring to the table different gifts that we depend on. And so we have Nick and Megan Rockenbach, and we have Tammy Moe, and we have Gail Trigstead, and we have Louise Anderson.
Yep.
And these people are part of our, what we call our core group, and they each are able to take care of a number of things that under no circumstances could Sarah and I tackle by ourselves. So we have, with their assistance, the capacity to develop a website. So we have a website now. We also have somebody who signed us up then to Mobilize. We're increasingly able to use that. We're, I think, on the cusp of using, in fact, I think we do know, use that for our emails rather than just doing an email block list from the Breakwall email list. We can contact people through Mobilize, which is tremendous. We have people who are capable of, well, Sarah, for example, has been doing some heroic work learning about, for example, insurance policies. So when we meet, for example, at the high school, we need to have an insurance policy. And surprise, surprise, and hallelujah, Indivisible has an insurance policy under which we fall. And so these are part of the, we've used the metaphor that we are on a road that we are also simultaneously building.
I'm very familiar. Yeah, no, that's like a cooperative principle. Build it as you travel.
Yeah, precisely.
Exactly.
It's daunting and exhilarating at the same time. It really is this essence of a movement, and movements don't stay static by any means. And in fact, they're trying to break up the status quo, which is, I think, a goal of Indivisible. But that does mean that our eyes are a bit wide as we face the tasks that are necessary in order to really honor the circumstances of the moment, but also honor the people who want to enter into the moment too.
So one of the things about Indivisible, Leo, that is two of the things that really spoke to us is their kind of overarching goals of community building and relationship building. And I think those two things are what have given the core group, as we call it, the heft that it does in experience and ability. I would say that most of the people in our core group would not say to you, I'm a leader. That's my type. Most of them would say, no, that's not me. But one of the things that really struck me about one of our meetings with the regional Northern Midwest coordinator, Scott, was he said, look for the people that don't think of themselves as leaders and encourage them to take on those roles. And the people that we have in our core group really have done that just in the most amazing and helpful way that you can imagine. Just when I think, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go digging for this information, one of them responds to a question as if this is what they've been working in all their lives. They know stuff. And they're, you know, there are people that just are so detail-oriented that they keep us really on task. And all of the skills that people bring are valuable and important.
And I think that's something I want to circle back to, too, with that first meeting. One of the pieces that was so impressive to us was the mix of people who were there. And so we had people who worked in the shipping industry, the mining industry. We had educators and people from the medical community. And we had
laborers,
artists,
tradesmen.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just this wonderful hoi polloi mix of people, all of whom are anxious for any number of reasons, both personal and in principle. And to hear their stories as they raised their hand or as they wrote down what was most concerning to them was deeply moving and gave us all the more impetus to do the job of Indivisible, which has its name because the founders of Indivisible are deeply concerned about the most vulnerable in our society. And these are the ones who most certainly are in dire straits right now with this president's agenda. And the term Indivisible, it reflects this notion that the community of Indivisible stands around those who are most threatened, and their arm-in-arm stance is Indivisible. And I appreciate that deeply. And so this is something that we have decided to really lift up, is this wonderful mix of people who are being brought together because, albeit for different reasons, understand that what is coming out of D.C. is fundamentally not just wrong,
kind it's of not large, American.
But it's un-American. Exactly.
I want to make sure that we get to the particulars of what's calling you this weekend, but I also thought you gave a really good sense of the organization and its philosophy of how it activates to respond to the moment. Just curious, folks who haven't ever really looked into Indivisible, they're maybe just following the news not as passionately as some of us are, but help us understand what goals your organization, at least Breakwall, has identified at the moment as being core, or is it really difficult to do that? If I give you 5 minutes to talk about what are you trying to address that's most to the core and of the moment in rallying people,
right.
For instance, for public participation in a rally, you know, what are the signs going to say, or what are there just is there just such a wide range of concerns that people have that it is hard to encompass in an easy answer?
Right. So the rally, this is Sarah, the rally this weekend on April 5th is actually a nationwide event.
Yes.
That has been coordinated between something called 5051 and Indivisible and MoveOn.org and just a variety of organizations. And the message really for the day is hands off.
Yeah.
Hands off our Social Security, hands off Medicare, hands off Veterans Services, hands off health care in general, hands off disability services, hands off education. The list goes on and on and on. So that's really the goal for the day. For us, it's an opportunity to offer the folks of Two Harbors who are not happy with what's going on a local chance to have their voice heard and to participate in something that I am guessing many people who will be there on Saturday have not. I've heard from so many people, and even at that first meeting, that they've never done anything like this before, but they are feeling the urgency and the impact of what's going on. Yeah, so back to kind of relationship and community building, that's why we're doing something in Two Harbors, and really hoping that people will move to Duluth and
After our
event, and then participate in the quite a few things that are going on down there.
Yeah.
So we're meeting here in town. that information is on our website.
Can you just elaborate on the website again for those of us that are clumsy searching?
So it's indivisible-breakwall.org.
Mm-hmm. Pretty easy.
Yep.
Thank you. Excellent.
Yeah, and we have a Facebook page as well. But what we found is that there are quite a few people who have chosen not to use Facebook anymore, and so we needed to find other ways to reach out. That's our goal, is really to reach as many people
right.
as we can.
Well, you've had meetings with well over 100 people there. You've had probably breakout groups that are working on different aspects of the organization. Will people who haven't been in contact with anybody in Breakwall Indivisible, you know, in person yet, who show up, can they expect that there will be more opportunities to maybe meet again as a collective, or will you have to struggle to find room? Is that,
that's a great
that the problem
question.
You want to have?
Nope, we're not going anywhere. So our next public meeting is at Two Harbors High School on Monday, April 7th.
Yes.
From 6 to 7:30, Anna's verifying the time right now, so give us a minute.
Will do, will do.
And we're encouraging people to bring their dinner, you know, bring a sack lunch, just like you were going to school, because you are. Bring your sack lunch with and have dinner with us, and we'll meet, and then it'll be kind of a larger public meeting, and there'll be a chance then for people to go into those breakout smaller what we call work groups, to continue conversations about what that group feels they need to do. And there are 3 or 4 broad groups which they'll learn about at the meeting. But again, we'll be meeting in the cafeteria at Two Harbors High School on Monday, April 7th from 6 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm. And then on the 5th, that is to say on this Friday or Saturday, people can meet us from 7:30 until 9 at the tourist information parking lot at the east end of town. We'll have signs there to be picked up from 7:30 to 8. And then you'll be able to move up and down 7th Avenue. We're not blocking traffic. We're using public sidewalks. And that just will be an opportunity for those who either would like to also go down to Duluth to have time to do something local, or people who aren't able to go down to Duluth and instead will just want to be able to make a statement here to have the chance to do just that.
Don't quote us on the time for Monday the 7th, but we'll get that to you before tomorrow morning. Does that work for you, Leo?
That does. And of course, people can ask if they show up on Saturday. That's a great
That's
way to encourage
right,
them to show
go.
Up to learn more. Something Anna said struck me there, that you're using the public sidewalk. So can you reassure, as you said, there are a number of people who've never participated in public rallies and demonstrations who might be skeptical of the comfort level of how maybe confrontational things could be, or what do people expect? I assume that you espouse specifics of peaceful but, you know, resolute demonstration.
Indeed. Yes. And in fact, one of the things that we've been lifting up are trainings that Mobilize has hosted about we're a peaceful movement. And so we don't need so much to encourage people to be what we are inherently. But also to be prepared and to know some safety issues for any kind of public demonstrations. But right, we're following all the laws. We have contacted all of the local authorities, including the police department, to let them know where we'll be and when we'll be there. The same is true for down in Duluth. They've done just some really marvelous orchestrating to make sure that everybody who needs to be in the loop is in the loop.
So maybe you would define this. I saw that there was actually confrontational sort of moment on I don't know if it was on a social media page where somebody said, if you're trying to make good trouble, that sounds like you're trying to get that you're mad and trying to get people riled up. Anybody want to address that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the phrase good trouble comes from a good man, John Lewis,
yes,
who used that phrase well in his tenure as a politician. And I don't know what more to say about that, except that there's nothing wrong with good trouble.
Cory Booker today is going on at least 23, 24 hours now, standing in the halls of Congress in defiance of Donald Trump's policies. That's good trouble. Good trouble is not violent trouble. Good trouble is standing up for justice, and that sometimes means that there is trouble that is caused, but I'd rather stand on the side of justice than just let injustice roll over. And so what we're very much in the line of John Lewis and Cory Booker, but we're not a violent troublemaking movement by any means, but we are troubled by what is happening out of D.C. I think also another piece that is related to that that's worth lifting up is that one of the core values of Indivisible is joy, which is something that might strike someone as being a surprising value or objective, but it's for a number of different purposes, I think. And one of the pieces, I think, is that joy is so lacking right now, and so Indivisible is seeking to inculcate a sense of joy, to let people know that even in the face of such dire trouble, there is still beauty to be had, music to enjoy, a delight to be experienced, and we want to highlight those elements and do so by way of being invested in each other and in our community. But I think another element of joy is that one of the things that authoritarianism and fascism takes away is joy, the right to feel glad. And I certainly can speak for Sarah and myself that one of the ways to really irritate those in power is to remain joyful. And so Indivisible as a movement holds joy, not hate, but holds joy as central to its identity.
Thanks. I did have another direction I wanted to go, but we have taken over half an hour. I'll be editing. If folks listen to this and it's under half an hour, just know I have some good trouble of my own to bring this to a time period that fits in the realm of an hour on the radio. And I had a question that I was going to frame all about how you get through this place where you're acting out of empathy in your movement, and yet you know the divisions are deep and indivisible, and division, something's got to give in the end, and we have to have a society that has the kinds of reckonings that will allow us to move past this incredibly difficult period we're in. All that to say, I was wondering if both of you could speak to what gives you hope in the midst of this.
You want to go ahead?
I think the work that I'm doing with Indivisible gives me great hope. My connections to the community and the people that I have seen come out for this movement gives me hope. The fact that it might not be an 18-inch snowfall tomorrow, that gives me some hope.
I had already planned my day off, Sarah.
The fact that you're interviewing us and going to air this tomorrow gives me great hope. And the idea that really what matters most is kindness and love. And when people tap into that and just take a moment and a breath to think about what that means for the world, that gives me great hope.
And I know that sometimes hope isn't immediately accessible, and so the question also is about your reasons to stand strong for your convictions. If you don't mind, Sarah, I'll turn to Anna and give her kind of the last words on her source of hope and standing strong.
One theologian I value an awful lot is a Roman Catholic author by the name of Anthony Kelly, and he wrote some words that I turn to on the daily these days. And he said, hope begins where optimism reaches the end of its tether. I love that line. Mm. Hope begins where optimism reaches the end of its tether. Hope stirs when the secure system shows signs of breaking down. Hope is at home in the world of the unpredictable, where no human logic or expectation is in control. Hope rejects any easy assurances of pretending to manage what in fact intrinsically resists management. Hope relies on something that comes from outside the system. I love that. Hope, I think, is all too often used interchangeably with the word optimism, but they're as different one from the other as pessimism is from despair. I think that there are many of us who are feeling some measure of despair, which literally means without hope. But that's where Anthony Kelly's words, I think, enter in. We have no reason to be optimistic. Optimism has come and gone, and now its tether is reached. But hope enters in at this juncture. And so outside the system is in D.C., the system is with oligarchy. And right now, what we're seeing is hope coming from the grassroots, from the people all across this incredible, diverse nation. And that's where I think Sarah and the rest of the core group and I stand.
Well, thank you, Anna Madsen and Sarah Preston. I have much more to talk about. We'll have to hold on to it for another session as we go down. This adventure will continue for some time, this challenge. I don't want to make light of it that is in front of us. And thank you for what you brought to the table today. And I hope a number of people look you up and find out more about Indivisible and that we all find our path to make a difference in pretty dire times. And I heard an expression, we should save our pessimism for less dire times. Just a little thought
exactly.
There to end with.
Thank you. Grateful.
Thank you.
We're
both.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And yeah, the weather is probably looking up for the weekend. Can you remind me again as we leave, 7:30 on the sidewalk near the Visitor Center in Two Harbors on Saturday, April 5th. And then when are events in Duluth to take note of happening?
In Duluth at the Federal Building, Gerald Haney Federal Building, 517 First Street, starting at 10 o'clock. That's 10 to 11. From noon to 2 is Keith Ellison's listening session. That's something that you need to RSVP for in order to get the location.
I see.
And then from 4 to 6 is the 5051 Remove, Reverse, Reclaim demonstration that's happening on the corner of Lake Avenue and Superior Street.
Wow, a full day. Okay.
Yeah, so people can go to indivisible-breakwall.org for all of that information. You'll find it there, and we're really looking forward to seeing you there. And for anybody out there that is actually listening to this, please, when you come and grab a sign or sign in, come and greet us. Let us know that you're here because you heard this on the radio.
Thank you. Yeah, it'd be good feedback to me as well. Thank you both, and have a great weekend ahead, and good luck to all of us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leo.
Bye now. Sarah Preston and Anna Madsen from the Two Harbors branch of Indivisible. They call Breakwall Indivisible. And this is Leo for KTWH.